in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fighting is in the time.
He gets inside.
In any weather you can see us with your ring. Listening head and skin. You're not where behind the chair.
Mark Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's safe to say that this would be the most uplifting show we've ever done.
Nick, forget about that. Stop bearing the lead, Nick. What I want to know is who were the leaders in the TSA Cup in hitouts this week?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Andy. So people may have noticed last year we signed Big Ivy's cousin, Ivy Jr., who here at Richmond Tiger Talk were already professed fans of. And our fandom is at the stage where, you know, perhaps it's the desperate search for a distraction, but I'm checking out weekly leaders in hit-out statistics in the TAC Cup. And there's Ivy Jr. at number 3.
Is he getting a touch?
I think it was 5 disposals, 5 tackles and a goal this week to go with 36 hit-outs.
That's all right. Still a long way to go.
Still a very long way to go, but it's not a bad sign. I mean, he is a great big lump of a lad, so he should be doing reasonably well in hit-outs, but he's also got no football background whatsoever. So as a 19-year-old, and there are actually quite a few 19-year-old ruckmen in the TAC Cup going around. So, you know, there's a chance there. I'm feeling just slightly more encouraged than I was from, you know, some pre-season reports that he was as raw as sushi.
Yeah, I must admit, I heard one rumour that he wasn't allowed to do any match practice with the seniors because he was so bad it destroyed his confidence.
Yeah, that's no good. Look, it's a hard gig.
It's a hard gig. I mean, you're playing against people who've done it his whole life. Ruckman developed slowly anyway, and he's never done it before.
Yes, he's a 19-year-old kid with a basketball background, so, you know, a large dose of patience is required. But really, I think we're distracting ourselves from the main game here, Andy.
Well, I'm quite deliberately. And what is the main game? Sorry. Yeah, you're quite right. Bring it on.
McBean mania.
It did. Presumably the club has had to put on extra servers to cope with the download demand since they put on a 5-goal highlight package.
Oh, no. Look, when they put up a package like that, they know that that's a package that's designed to impress Richmond supporters.
Indeed, and I found out it was up there because people were texting me in excitement about the that this is true. People were texting me and sending me Twitter messages about it, so it was exciting. Is there anything that particularly stood out to you other than he kicked the goal very well in the highlights? He got a few goals on leading and marking, a few goals from sort of snap general play goals, but is there anything that sort of stood out to you that you hadn't noticed before?
Look, it was probably the most consistent display of traditional football skills that we've seen from McBean. Like, he's always had that pulling a goal out of nowhere for a 203-centimetre guy thing, but this was impressive for, just lead and mark and kick straight, because as we know, kicking straight is not something that can be taken for granted, even amongst professional footballers.
No, I mean, it's a cliche that it's the one thing that's got worse in the game. But, no, he's a beautiful kick for goal, always has been. His accuracy is consistently high in Coburg. And you could see on the highlights, because he's not like, he doesn't take massive contested marks 10 metres out. He's a good kick for goal because he kicks well from goal and those sort of pocket shots and snapshots that he gets. While we're on the VFL, Nick, let's continue the... we're 4 minutes in and still haven't talked about the seniors. We're going well. We've only got 25 minutes to go. Did you watch the McKenzie highlights?
I did watch the McKenzie highlights. And look, I was thinking that amidst the smouldering ruins and disappointed dreams of season 2015. Francis Jackson and the recruiting staff's confidence in last year's draft haul is very much proving vindicated, despite a few injuries.
Yeah. So did you with McKenzie? Not quite the week. People have been shouting praises from the recruiting staff from the rooftops, but this draft class, I see your point with McKenzie. One thing I liked about his marks was, like, you expect him to clunk a few sort of hard contested marks against a, you know, smaller-bodied human being, which is basically everyone. But I like the fact he got some marks sort of running back with the flight and other sort of general play marks that belie his massive frame and lack of reported lack of fitness.
Yeah, he showed more agility than I'm used to. It was and some good reading into play. So it was a nice effort. I mean, you know, rounding out the guys from that draft class, Dan Butler, unfortunately, has got a knee injury that's going to keep him out for another month. Nathan Drummond, even more regretfully, with the knee reconstruction. And Corey Ellis, who for some reason I was calling Cameron last week.
I did not notice.
No, me neither.
I've made plenty of name errors myself, and there's a reason why I call him Lids. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so, you know, Corey Ellis, you know, both Drummond and Ellis injured in their senior debuts. But the other guys on the weekend, Connor Mendigew backed up another good performance, kicked a couple of goals. Jason Castagna, 21 disposals, good rebound.
Nine contested possessions. You can just see the clock is ticking. If we keep looking, going inside 50 like a colorblind man trying to solve a Rubik's Cube, you can just see the clock is ticking on Connor Mendigew or Liam McBean coming into the team. Frankly, I genuinely want Liam McBean to play this week, but Connor Mendigew, I think the clock is ticking on a senior debut sooner rather than later, unless things turn for the seniors.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Look, and there's a number of the older guys also, you know, not quite beating the door down, but Arna McDonough and Matty D all had good games, and they sort of put themselves in the frame at least.
Absolutely, and credit to Matt D. We mentioned him, you know, he's been the forgotten man, except on our podcast, because I've got a flame for him. But played a really good defensive game, according to the match report. We didn't see the game. It should be qualified. Mm. But also, on top of that, had 21 disposals. And, you know, his timing is perfect because despite the fact that he's not in the injury report, it looks like Old Balls is injured. So, you know, Matty D, his time, you know, ideally he may have got one more game in the tooth to get up his fitness. But, you know, his form's come good at exactly the right time.
Mm. Now there's not a spot for him, but Todd Elton very close to a career high with 16 disposals and 7 marks. Like that's been the one problem with him as a key defender, is not winning enough football. But good contested disposals, good intercept possessions. That's a nice game.
It is. I noticed that too. I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Now, obviously, North Ballarat are terrible, but you know, this is a victory won on the back of our listed players. Matt Thomas got injured in the first quarter. Like, it's nice to see. And Matt Madonna didn't gun it, but 22 disposals, 11 contested. Mariano, I'm not sure if you mentioned him already, 24, 5 clearances.
Yeah.
Sort of put his hand up a bit. Sammy Lloyd, 12 contested possessions, was not terrible. You know, Vickery was 3 goals. Like, there was, Sean Hampson was dominant again. And Nick, there's actually a bit of, there's a bit of love for the idea. I think we can't avoid it any longer. Sorry, before we go, I'm about to transition to the AFL. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about the VFL before I mentioned Hampson's game?
Well, Sammy Lloyd, very sadly, not getting on the scoreboard, which I think if Sammy Lloyd is one of the few footballers who is very much defined in terms of his scoreboard output.
I don't think the key to selection in Richmond in the current Richen regime is kicking goals, sadly. But 12 contested possessions, I don't think he's...
I think for a guy who's as close to a specialist forward pocket as we have, along with Dan Butler, I think he's one guy. Because he doesn't, you know, he's not super quick on the lead, limited number of positions he can play, I think he's someone who does need to get on the scoreboard.
So about I'm trying to resist the temptation to make a sarcastic comment about Steve Morris here. Sean Hampson, another dominant game in the twos, and there was before the game. And it's so nice that Sean Hampson gets a bit of love amongst the fans, because let's face it, he's been a whipping boy. Well, you know, justifiably, like, it's not his fault that we traded for him. If he'd been a free agent pickup, we'd all probably love him as a backup ruckman. So another good game in the VFL, but before the seniors, people were talking about playing him as well to give a chop out to Marich. Now, all right, well, if we have to talk about the seniors, I have to say the most positive thing about it was, I thought, even though technically he lost the hitouts, I thought Marich was absolutely awesome against Goldstein. Like, beat him around the ground, drew even in the tap-outs. He had some really nice, effective tap-outs when he got his hands on it. Like, he's just such a warrior. I admire him so much. He's by far my favourite current Tiger on this year's team. What did you think?
I thought it was a huge effort. Like, not getting... To a guy like Goldstein, who is a fantastic athlete, to be able to ruck all day once Griffiths got injured, and then exactly. That is, you know, that hurts your rotation for the rest of the day, and having
absolutely
a number of guys pick up knocks. Like, I don't think we didn't play well enough to win anyway, but it certainly didn't help. I thought. Yeah, I mean, it showed in the coaches' votes, but I thought he and Miles certainly had nothing to be ashamed about from their efforts.
No, absolutely. It's such a pity because it's forgotten, you know, losing. I was reading a quote today. I wish I could remember where it was from, but the you know, the victors, the dead of the victors become heroes, and the dead of the losers are left to rot in the fields. Actually, I think it's from the Napoleonic Wars, but
uplifting.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a bit overly melodramatic. But you know, the point is that Marich's game is never going to get the recognition it deserves because it was in what it was overall a disappointing effort. What did you think about Asprey's game?
I didn't mind some of the individual component parts, but then when I look up the statistics at the end of the day, it was pretty underwhelming. I was a bit confused. I don't mind him at centre-half forward, and we desperately needed another marking target, but just didn't seem like he could get involved enough.
I appreciate he was injured in a lot of the preseason, but I think we should have set this up more beforehand. He's basically not played forward for a long time in the VFL and in practice games. I think it was a big ask in that game, and there was a moment in the first... Griffo still hadn't been injured yet, but there was a moment in the first when our forward line... It was good camera angle, and you could see what the people were kicking to. And our forward line, you know, Morris was there, Asprey was there, and it was very undynamic. Like, you could see we didn't have any ideas about how to score. And with the greatest respect to Asprey, I don't think he was part of the solution in that. But, you know, he could be. We know he's actually got some attacking nous, but I think they need more work on the structure if they're going to do that. Now, later on in the game, Griffo went down and they had to do it out of need. But, yeah, it was mixed. And then, while Asprey was not doing very much forward, Grimes was getting killed by Lee Brown in the back line. So that was a bit awkward.
Ben Brown.
Sorry, Ben Brown. This is talking about names.
Ben Brown's exactly the wrong guy for Asprey to play on, because he's much better on the guys... you know, the big gorillas than he is on someone who's relatively fleet of foot the way Brown is, even though he's...
Oh, sorry, no, I was talking about the big Tasmanian who was taking marks on...
Yeah, Ben Brown, he's quick on the lead.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's a monster too.
He's not huge in the shoulders, but he's nearly 200 centimetres. He's a remarkably good player for
a rookie. Some, Yeah, was he a rookie pick?
I think he was preseason draft out of the VFL, so he'd already been bypassed in a whole national draft.
Yeah, so one of the things I hated about the game that hasn't been flogged to death on social media or on the formal media is...
There's anything left?
I thought we were terrible kicking the defending the kickouts, and I actually, you might recall...
And we did, and North Melbourne certainly had some good opportunities to practice that since we kicked 14 behind.
It was very frustrating to watch. I actually left the game. You might recall, Nick, we were Chris Newman had a shot for goal from 50 just before the half, and we would have led in a game for the first time in a very long time. And I was quite excited because I thought knew he was going to kick it. He hit the post. But I left, and then North, you might recall, kicked a goal on the rebound. But I actually left the game at halftime. I stopped watching because I thought we were going to lose because North could transition so much easier than we could. Like, we could get the ball inside 50, but it was a lot more work for us than it was for them. Like, they... Go on.
Well, just that you know, you look at the core component stats of the game, and we've flogged them in clearances, we've won in contested disposals, we've won in inside 50s, marks inside 50 were even, we had more contested marks, but just, it is so frustrating that, you know, the turnovers leading to easy shots at goal, like our conversion rate wasn't particularly good anyway, but, you know, we were consistently generating shots 40 metres out from goal, whereas North Melbourne had far more shots closer to goal, and we're just not generating those at the moment, which is extremely frustrating.
So in our four losses, we've won the inside 50s in every one, where we're cumulatively plus 30 on the inside 50s. And in none of those four games have we ever led in any meaningful time. And, you know, frankly, we weren't even close unless you count that very belated comeback against Geelong. Like, we're not playing well. And you know what? Like, we're not even the worst team. Like, we're in the top eight. The inside 50 stat has not become meaningless in AFL. Richmond are just making it look meaningless this year in the AFL.
And something about Port Adelaide as well.
Port Adelaide are doing the opposite, and we play them in a few weeks in...
We could win the inside 50s by 40 and get done.
Yes, it's the very movable object meeting the immovable force. As I said, the plus 30, and it's just, it's very frustrating to watch. Oh, and sorry, the other thing I was going to mention is credit to Lee Terrence the Roach. I saw this on the internet that was sort of, and shots for goal were actually quite high in the AFL once you take out rash behinds, but, you know, our shots from bad spots, and frankly, we're kicking like crap. It's horrible to watch. I really hate watching this team because there's nothing more frustrating than sort of you're beating your head against the wall. What did you think? Changing the topic slightly, unless you wanted to add anything on that very frustrating thing. You know, it's like watching a soccer game where the other team's parked the bus and you can't score. It's just so annoying. It's terrible to watch. What did you think about Dimmer calling out Dusty at the end of the game?
Well, I've gone back and forth on this because, you know, Dusty still had a highly productive game of football, but he is, you know, he's led the AFL in turnovers last year. Like, he really, and he sets up so much of our play as well, but unfortunately, he sets up play for the opposition as well. And I think it's Dimmer getting frustrated that he just has those lapses of concentration. He's such a talent by foot, and we work so hard to set him up with the ball across half back in places where, you know, if, you know, he can set the play up for us, or if it's a turnover, it's a goal going the other way. So he's in really high leverage situations.
Yeah, good point. And you know, we play a lot of guys in our back line who are either defense first or a balanced. Like, the only sort of truly rebounding backman we play is Hawley, who's, you know, not a bad defender, but he's 60-40 attack defense.
I know.
And you know, most AFL players would have a bit more balance and a bit more attacking flair in their back line.
Well, it's the reason why, you know, the temptation to play a guy like Castagna, who's, you know, does provide a lot of run for our VFL team, but he's a little scrappy with his kicking as well, which is why he was a rookie pick. Like, that's, yeah, we're finding it tough to get that attack and defence balance right. And part of the problem is that after a great start, both Taylor Hunt and McIntosh have come off the boil a bit. So, you know, neither of them, you know, both are huge running athletes, and yeah, 21 disposals between the two of them on the weekend.
Yep. Yeah, and again, McIntosh should forgive a bit for hitting the wall. But yeah, point taken. But yeah, they both are dropped well down. Just before we go off that Dusty comment, the thing that Dusty gave up two goals in the third. Take those out. Take out another goal from a random turnover. We still went from a bit of time before the third quarter, for the entire third quarter, and for a bit of time in the fourth, we only kicked one goal. Like,
I know. These long periods without goals are extremely frustrating.
You take over the dumb turn, like, say, you take up three dumb turnovers, and we scored a couple of times on their dumb turnovers. We still lose the game because we only scored 74 points. So I didn't look, and maybe it was Dimmer's attempt to motivate Dusty. And this is the most positive thing I'll say about Dimmer this whole podcast. I thought and this is absolutely no doubt, Dimmer is a very good human being, because considering how angry and how much his job security was on the line in the press conference, I thought he was, like, you compare him to how Mick Malthouse is in the same situation, I thought his personal conduct was very strong. So, you know, maybe, as tactically as much as you can criticize him, I'm hoping that the calling out Dusty was partly a calculated gamble to try and bring out an extra dimension in his play.
Yeah, look, for me, it's, I don't think it was throwing him under the bus. I do think it was a genuine attempt at accountability. Because, you know, Dimmer's, as you say, he's got that integrity. It's not like Mick Malthouse saying that Carlton's rubbish because they can't attract free agents, you know, which wasn't even accurate. But, you know, he wasn't. Dimmer's not a guy who's going to throw the club under the bus to protect his own reputation.
Yeah, I mean, you can criticise him for a lot of things, but I think he's fundamentally at heart a really good human being. I don't think we need to flog this game too much, but we've done well. I mean, you know, as I said to you offline, and maybe this we could just briefly mention, I was saying to you offline, I can't remember disliking a team, watching a team this much since 2003, and you did point out to me the 2006 start to the season.
And 2000. Look, part of the problem as well is that modern footy, when it's bad, is really bad. It's got that under 12s, 35 guys around the football vibe to it, and it, you know, when it works, it can be the most exciting game. But when it's not, it can be pretty slog-like when teams are dropping 15 guys back into their defence.
It can, and I just. The point you made to me was, I mean, we all remember the 2000s, the Ben Cousins tearing his hamstring game against Carlton. Mm. And we talked about that last year after we lost to Melbourne. But you pointed out to me that 100-point loss we had to the Western Bulldogs at the start of 2006. Mm. And people probably remember that. But I'd just like to remind people about that game, which I have in front of me right now. So we lost by, you know, start of the season. Remember 2005, we did well. Bradley broke his leg. And then 2006, you know, there was potentially some hope with, you know, Brownie coming back, and that, you know, we might be decent, you know, might make the eight, because like the year before we'd come quite well. Mm. No, we got done.
It was year three of the Terry Wallace plan when were starting.
Year two, 2005, 2006. So,
oh, two, no, he's
No, 2004, it was Flores last year. We got the number one draft pick. And then
That's right.
So anyway.
I just remembered Terry Wallace with the 2004 draft score. But, there was some hope. And then in round one, literally, we suffered a bigger loss than a team had ever suffered and made the finals. So it's like your finals dream was over in round one. So I can only imagine if we were doing the podcast then how depressed it would have been.
So guess who was the bottom position, in a Steve Morris-style performance, actually worse, frankly, for a player who you knew wasn't putting in on the defensive end. Guess who had three possessions in that game?
Jay Schultz.
With four possessions was, and keep in mind, this was before the sub-era, Richard Tambling.
Oh, that was some dark days.
With five possessions, Adam Patterson.
Oh, God, he was a first-round draft pick as well.
So, with six positions, Darren Gaspar, that's okay. Dylan Grimes, Jade Batchelor, that's fine. You know, that kind of player. Nine positions, David Roden, small, talented, quick forward who should have been getting more than that by that age. Troy Simmons, high-priced free agent, had 10 possessions. He was playing in the ruck, but, you know, got killed, smashed in the hitouts as well. And then, you know, you go up, you see some of the old favourites, Chris Hyde, Kane Pettiford, but, you know, it was just interesting to watch the really, and, you know, I don't want to pick on Heidi, who's, you know, was a good foot soldier for us, but yeah, just the bottom.
And still running around in the Ovens and Murray League.
Exactly. And, you know, kicked the winning goals against Geelong at Cadinia Park that day. I think last time we beat them. If we're just comparing the frustration levels, just bottom three players by far playing terrible, well below replacement value AFL games. Jay Schultz, Richard Tambling, Adam Patterson, all first-round draft picks and all not playing in their first years.
I know. And if you think that, you know, Richard Tambling is the most disappointing high draft pick we've had since Richard Lowndes and Anthony Bannick. And we had to endure a decade of we drafted him instead of Buddy comments. Like, yeah, I think the moral of the story is just if you think it's bad now, it's probably been worse in quite recent memory.
Yeah, which was a learning experience for me as much as I'm hating it right now. Is there anything you want to talk about before we go on to Collingwood?
No, Collingwood are very much in a rebuilding. They've had a couple of good wins, but they've also had a terrible loss to Geelong where they barely showed a peep.
Before you move on that point, so they're 4-2, but their wins are Brisbane, Essendon, Carlton and St Kilda. Hardly a murderer's row. And their two losses, and both losses were comfortable, were Adelaide in Melbourne and Geelong.
It's a pretty soft schedule.
Yeah, it's a bad 4-2.
Yeah, look, what I worry about is Pendlebury perpetually kills us. They've got some young players who've been playing as well. Adam Oakley, who's sort of a tall, skinny defender who's come from nowhere, has been surprisingly productive for them. Jack Crisp and Patrick Karnesis, guys they've got from Brisbane. Everyone knows about Travis Cloak up forward. They don't look like that good a team on paper, but they are. I don't know, they've just had the wood on us.
But they haven't been in us since 2007, and we haven't even come close. Like, the one game where we came within 20 points, we had a late fourth quarter comeback to get there. So, yeah, it's they clearly match up well against us, and we're in bad form. Nick?
Well, and bad form, and I did a list of guys who've missed a game of football for us this year in the seniors, like, who either played seniors or guy like Foley who'd be in senior contention. I think I got to 13 different guys. So it's just been, continuity's been difficult. Lids is clearly not himself. It's a tough year.
That's It's not good enough, though. The injuries aren't bad enough to explain this level of performance. But, you know...
Well, it's just... It's the frustration of it. I'd really like a good, solid crack at it.
Well, it's just... You know, I know why Richmond supporters are so angry and pissed off on social media, because, you know, it's like we've had... It feels like we're on the climb, but we never had the glory day. Like, I don't know. I share people's frustration. Anyway, we're getting off the pot of Collingwood, and I apologise for that.
They are one goal favourites. It's an extremely winnable game.
Which is extraordinary, because, frankly, I wouldn't touch us with a barge pole. I may have invested heavily in Melbourne on the weekend. But, Nick, there is a serious topic I wanted to bring up here, and this is the most thing I wanted to say to you about this podcast.
Okay.
Not only do I think seriously Mick Bean should play in this game. Like, seriously. Like, we can't convert inside 50s. It's time to stop selecting people for how earnestly they stand on the mark. We need someone who gives a bit of X factor in the forward line. Our forward line hasn't been functioning well. McBean's in good form. I think it's time to break that glass. He's not going to suddenly put in 10 kilos next year. We can't keep him wrapped in cotton wool. I think it's McBean time, Nick. I'm serious.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
See you next week.
I've really got to go. I'm good. Just a little bit of genius.